So, by now you've probably figured out that our theme for the year is coming home, right? And last year, our theme was hashtag Jesus, and all of our sermons were about Jesus. This year, it's going to be, in a sense, the opposite, because we're not going to have a ton of lessons about coming home on Sunday. We're not going to have a lot of sermons on coming home. It's going to be more like things we do in other activities, in our midweeks, and things like that. All right? And so, but and again, we've had a workshop on this. We've had two devotionals on this. And the theme of coming home has to do with a lot of things. It has to do with us bringing those who have strayed. And a number of us have already been working on that. And hopefully, you're going to invite some of those who've not been with us for a while to our in-person service on Sunday. That would be really great. Also, it has to do with people coming home who've never even had a spiritual home. It's about baptizing people into Christ. But honestly, coming home, above all, has to do with our being a Christian family. And we've been more scattered over the past 11 months than we had in the past for obvious reasons, and it's not somebody's fault, but we want to be that home. We want to be the church family that God has in mind for us. And for some people, we need to kind of pull them in. So our devotional 4 weeks ago was about family from Ephesians. And we learned in Ephesians 1:5. Let me see. Yes, in Ephesians 1:5, we learned that we've been adopted into Christ's family, that we were chosen by him. Before that, we saw in Ephesians 2:11 and through 12, we were Gentiles. We were outside of God's family. We were uncircumcised. We were separate from Christ. We were excluded from citizenship in God's kingdom. And from a spiritual perspective, we were without hope and without God. Truly, that was not home. And we are on the outside of God's family looking in. But in verse 13, Ephesians 2:13, there's that beautiful word, but. But we have come into Christ. And in Christ, we are brought near by the blood of Jesus, verse 13. We are made one. We're made a family, verse 14. And the barrier of hostility that separated us, hostility due to race, class, income, language, personality, age, race, all those things have been destroyed. And we are made one body in Christ. We are fellow citizens with God's people. We have a common home in heaven. We are members of God's household. And therefore, we're brothers and sisters. We really are brothers and sisters with one another. And God is building us corporately into a holy temple in which He can dwell. And God lives in us through His Spirit. All those things come through being in Christ. That's the family that we have. Okay, great. That's nice theology. I'm really glad about that. But we need to make that practical. We need to put some flesh on the bones. So we're in this together. We're all part of God's household. But now that we've come home, well, what's home supposed to look like? And I believe one of the best ways, maybe even the best way to practically put it into practice, is to study out what we call the one another passages in the New Testament. And then just talk like a family about putting them into practice. So that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to do at least three devotionals, maybe four or five. So we're going to finish out February and go into March. And we're going to just talk about those one another passages. All right? So we're going to look at three of them tonight. Well, three one another categories, more than three passages. And the first one is, I suppose, is the most obvious one, which is that we need to love one another. Let's just read a few passages. John 13, 34 and 35. Of course, this is part of our John series, so we've read these pretty recently. We know what it means. At least we think we do. I think we do. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. And how did Christ love us? He loved us in the sense that he gave his life for us to make us friends. And the most common Greek word that describes this is the word agape. In fact, the early church took a regular Greek word and gave it a special kind of Christian meaning. It's that devotion to one another that we find that Christ had for us. And, you know, speaking of coming home, as people who are not part of our fellowship, if they're looking for God's church, they're looking for a home, what's the thing they're going to be able to judge it by? It's going to be by the love they have for one another. And I think I'm going to mention this when we cover this, but I'm going to say it again. I'm telling you, I was kind of on a spiritual quest. It kind of sounds, you know, kind of real religious, but I really was. I was looking for God. I had been a, you know, a knucklehead sinner. You know what I'm saying? But for about two and a half years, I was on a spiritual journey, you know? And the thing that made me realize I'd found what I was looking for was when I showed up at church. It wasn't the lesson preached, although that was a big part of it for sure. By far, it was the fact that I saw people who loved one another. And so we need to have that. We need to have that love because that's how people are going to know they've found the kingdom of God. It's not the only thing. They're finding the truth. You know, they hear the word. The word creates faith. There's other factors. But I think the single biggest factor we have in our favor of helping people come back who've left and come into the family who've never been part of it is our love for one another. And really, that's what Jesus says right here, right? Chapter 15, verse 12. Similarly, he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." And so what we're talking about is laying down our lives for each other. That's a pretty high standard. John 5:17, it says, "This is my command, love each other." 1 John 3:11, 1 John 3:23, 1 John 4:7, 1 John 4:11, 1 John 4:12. Love one another. What's that mean to you? Let's just take some time. Let's just stop for a minute, take a breath here. When we hear the commandment to love one another, what does that mean to you? Well, I want to suggest a passage that I think may help a lot in understanding what Jesus is talking about. It's in Philippians 2:3. This is a very familiar passage to us. For a lot of us, it's in our top 10 or 20 passages in the entire Bible. Philippians 2:3. If you want to know what it means to love one another, I think all of us understand that to some extent, but we need something concrete. We need something to think about. We need a metaphor. We need a picture. We need an example. And Philippians 2, 3, and 4 is, it works for me. Okay, I think it'll work for you as well. So what's it mean to love one another? It says here, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves." The earlier NIV said, "Consider others above yourselves." But I like this newer translation. It says, "In humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you looking to the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ." So in thinking about what it means to love one another, I think this idea of having the same mindset as Christ. What was that about? Well, he said, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or clung onto so he wouldn't let go. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. By the way, that's going to be our one another category number three. It's going to be serving one another. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. And notice it says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ. That's what we're talking about. That's what coming home is about. So it's about considering the needs of other people above your own. That, and brothers and sisters, that's a very high standard. It's kind of mind-blowing, really. How do we love one another? By making ourselves nothing. That doesn't mean we disrespect ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't like ourselves. It doesn't mean we don't love ourselves. But we're willing to put the needs of somebody else first before our needs. And it takes faith. Because the bottom line is the world tells you, take care of number one, right? That's what it always says. And if you don't take care of number one, then the question is, who's going to take care of you? Well, you know what? If the church is working the way it ought to be working, then others will be taking care of you to some extent. Again, you know, that's not the whole situation, but that's a large part of it. How do we do this? We put ourselves at the service of our brothers and sisters. Are you doing that? This week, what have you done to put yourself, you know, how can I serve you? All right? For me, this has been very real, honestly, for the last 8 or 9 days. Because what am I doing here in Phoenix? I'm just serving my mom and my dad. And, you know, it's been a little bit humbling, you know, wrapping my dad's feet and then unwrapping it. And there's been some, it's been pretty humbling. But it's taught me what it means to love one another. It means, you know, taking care of my dad and my mom above how I take care of myself. And really, God set it up perfect for this devotional tonight, really. Because, you know, not because I'm so amazing and such a great example. It's because it's kind of taught me what it means to love one another. It really means putting other people's needs above your own. It could be a little scary, you know. It's certainly not the world standard of love. No way. But that's what we're talking about. And I hope that you're looking forward to doing that. Another passage that I find to be helpful, because again, we need to define these things. We need to know what we're talking about. So I'm going to use 1 Peter 1:22. And I think it hits this idea of loving one another from a slightly different angle. 1 Peter 1:22. Says, now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for one another, love one another deeply from the heart. Now, here in this passage, although it says you have sincere love for one another, then he says love one another deeply from the heart. In the Greek, that's two different words. All right, and maybe you can see that on the screen. Have sincere love for one another. Honestly, that's not a really good translation. I don't know how they should have translated. I'm not criticizing the translation. I'm just saying it doesn't really give the sense of it very well. The word here is phileo. And it's not necessarily that unselfish love. It's that family love. It's that brotherly love. You all know that Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love because it's named after Phileo, the city of brotherly love. And so this is a different kind of thing. So loving one another, it's about putting the needs of others above yourself, but it's also about just being close. It's about being friends together. It's about going and playing golf together. It's about going on hikes together, or, I don't know, doing projects together, filling lunch bags for the homeless together. It's about family kinds of relationships, warm, friendly, safe, intimate, just knowing each other. You can agape somebody that you don't know, but you can't phileo somebody you don't know. And honestly, I already shared the reason I said I have come home 42 years ago is when I saw that in the Church of Christ there in Boulder. But what I saw was actually more phileo than agape. Right? I didn't see them serving and taking care of each other and putting others above themselves. I saw them just loving being together and being affectionate with each other to the point where New England me, who you don't touch a guy, it was almost strange. And so that's another aspect. And this is something we need to work on. But the nice thing is the agape love, in a sense, that's hard work. That takes humility. This kind of love, it's kind of fun, actually. You know, it's about spending time together. It's about doing the things you like together. And by the way, you're not going to like everybody in the church. Remember earlier we had that interesting thing, pray for somebody you don't like. And, you know, phileo, honestly, is about hanging out with the people maybe more that you like. And it's okay, actually, because we develop those just friendly relationships. And so that's another aspect of I think, loving one another. It's serving one another. It's putting others above yourselves. But it's also just being together, sharing experiences together, and honestly, having fun together, talking about the things you care about. It's okay to have friends that are sort of natural friends. In fact, we need them. We need friendships that click. You know what I'm saying? And to me, to some extent, that's what phileo is about. It's also having brotherly love for the people you don't click. I don't mean it's not about that as well, but that's one thing. Okay, point number two. We're going to look at three different one another scriptures. Our second one is Ephesians 5:21. Ephesians 5:21. Let's go there. So point number one, or one another passage, is love one another. And really, it's agape one another and phileo one another. You could argue that's two different things. In fact, in in 1 Peter 1:22, where it looks like he's repeating himself in Greek, he's not. All right, great. Our second one, it says here, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, submit is not a good word in the world. The world does not like that word at all. That's the idea of submission has a completely negative connotation in the world. Honestly, it does. But God tells us that we should submit ourselves, by the way, submit ourselves to one another. The NIV does not have that, but the best translation, a better translation, would not be submit to one another, but it would be submit yourselves one to another. Got it? Submit yourselves one to another. Because when I say submit to one another, it sounds like submit. You know what I'm saying? But no, it's like God's telling us to choose by our own will to submit to other people. Now, the word here that's used, I'm getting into a little bit more Greek than I usually will, but I think this word is worth looking at. The Greek word is hupotasso, and it's actually, it's a military word, all right? So it's when it says submit, it's a pretty strong word. And the word hupotasso means to place in rank under and to obey. So God is telling us through Paul to obey one another. Well, yeah. God is telling us through Paul to place ourselves in rank under other people. Yes, that's what he's saying. Or to have that mindset. To have that mindset. So, and by the way, as a lot of you know, Ephesians 5:22 talks about wives submitting to their husband. But isn't it interesting? It says, submit yourselves to one another. Before it says, wives submit to the husband. So guess what, husbands? You need to be submitting to your wife. Is there a somewhat of a difference in the quality of that? Probably. I think God says it to wives specifically for a reason. I don't doubt that. But here's the thing. Submit to one another. This is something, we don't talk about this very much, do we? Not really. So what's it look like? You know, it's not that different in a sense from, love one another, John 13, 34, and 35. I think there's some overlap there. But notice, it doesn't say allow yourself to be subjected to. That's not what it's saying. It says submit yourselves to. It's a decision of our will to put the will of other people in front of ours in certain situations. So you're out on a date, all right, and you're thinking, all right, I'm going to submit myself to my date, male, female, doesn't matter. You're at home, all right, you're trying to make some decisions. You're working on the worship team. You're organizing the feeding of the homeless. You're deciding what program to watch on TV. All right? So what's it like? What would it be like to live in a family in which all the members of that family are submitted to each other? I think what happens is concerns would be shared, and generally, but not always, they'd be met. And I think feelings would be considered. All right? I think what we need to do here individually is we need to spend some time thinking about what that means. And in fact, we're going to have discussion groups. Hopefully, we can have those. We have questions at the end. And I'm going to ask you to think about, what does it mean to you to be in submission to your child, your parent, your spouse, your sibling, your fellow Christian, the members of your Bible talk, the leader, whatever it is. But God is asking us, and this is part of this coming home, this part of creating the kind of home that God wants us to have with one another. And it's submitting to one another. Amen? All right, let's go on to our third category. And you'll see that our first three or four, arguably, one another passages, agape one another, phileo one another, submit to one another, and serve one another. These are all, there's a lot of overlap between these. You know, that's why I chose to do them in one lesson. All right, so let's go to Galatians 5:13. I'll tell you this, if you're putting Philippians 2, 3, and 4 into effect, here, that's definitely going to include serving one another, and it's certainly going to include submitting to one another, for sure. All right, Galatians 5:13. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Oops, yes, got it. It is the right passage. Do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. And again, we see we have freedom in Christ, right? And so, like I said, as we submit to one another, we're doing that within the freedom we have in Christ, right? We're not having somebody make us be submitted to them or somebody imposing that on us. No, we're looking to another person. We're saying, I'm going to submit to you, which means I'm going to consider your view on this before mine. I'm going to obey, not in the sense of you're commanding and I'm saying, yes, sir. I'm going to obey in the sense that I'm going to put your opinion, your thoughts before mine in this situation. Got it? So again, so this is done from a stance of having freedom in Christ. So you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. No, serve one another in love. So what would this be like? What would a church be like where it was normal and natural and an everyday thing for us to serve each other in love? Well, I think it would be a home where most needs are met. Amen? I've got a question. Would the people that know you well say, wow, that person's a servant? You know, Eve, she's a real servant. Vanessa, she's a real servant. Alan, he's a real servant. Dwayne, he's a real servant. Would people say that about you? Honestly, I don't think that's one of the first qualities they'd think of with me, honestly. It's not like I never serve anybody. That's why being here for a few days in Arizona has been good for me, honestly. You know, I believe that our church overall is doing pretty well in this commandment, this one another passage. You know, I sense a closeness in general. I sense a willingness to meet needs, you know, but I think we can improve on that. I'd give us at least a 7, maybe an 8 on this scripture, honestly. I don't know. I'm making it up off the top of my head right now, but seriously. But I do think that there are some people who are not having their needs met. In fact, I know it because I ask around and I talk to a lot of people. So I want to mention 2 groups within our church I think probably are not being served. And possibly they're not serving also. That might be part of the problem. So there's people that I'm going to say that are on the fringe. And by the way, I hate using labels. You know, I hate using labels. But honestly, there are some people that are pretty tied in. They're pretty tied into the church, to the body. There's other people that, honestly, aren't that tied in. I'm thinking of half a dozen people right now. Names are coming into my head, and they're not bad people. They're not unspiritual people. It's for different reasons. We have members who don't really even live in Bakersfield, right? Yeah? Okay, are their needs being met? Probably not, honestly. We have people living up in Lake Isabella or living in Porterville and other places. And my brain's not working right now. All right? So I want you to make a sort of a mental list. You could maybe even write it down. There might even be people in your Bible group who are a bit on the fringe. Okay, again, please, it's a word that's kind of a label. So don't you go telling somebody they're on the fringe. Don't you dare do that. Don't even think about it. But I don't know, I need a word to talk about it, all right? There are people that are not really connected. So I want to suggest that you serve one of those people. There are people in our church whose needs are met pretty easily, honestly. You know, I think about Louie and Christina Santiago. Everybody knows Louie and Christina Santiago. And honestly, if they have a need, they have family and they have church, it's probably going to be met, most likely. you know, Jan and I, everybody knows us. If we have a need, you know, it's probably going to be met, you know. But if we're going to serve one another, I think you need to sort of mentally have 2, 3, 4, 5 people in mind. You realize, wow, if we're going to be serving one another, I need to go out of my way purposefully to serve that person. Got it? All right. The other category is people who don't ask, people who don't want to be served. I'm not one of those people, honestly, but there are some people in our church. I'm thinking of some. Oh, I've got, there's 3 or 4 that jump out to me right away. I'm telling you, I ask them, how can I help you? How can I serve you? And they always say, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm good. I know they're going to say that because they always do and they probably always will. So there's a second category of people that I think are not being served, and it's their own dang fault, you know, in a sense. But no, it's not their own fault, because we're a family. If we're a family, we need to find those people and we need to serve them whether they like it or not. See what I'm saying? By the way, I'm going to read a passage that we wouldn't normally read in this context, but I'm going to admonish right now these don't want anybody to serve me people. All right? I'm thinking of one, think of another one. There's people in this church, all right? And again, labels, I don't know about that, but I bet you can take it. It seems like it's more often guys than brothers and sisters, but it's definitely sisters as well. So here's a passage. It's Acts 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35, where it says, in everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, and serving one another, by the way, is hard work. We must help the weak. Those are the people on the fringe. The weak generally are on the fringe. Okay? Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. We all know this. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It's true. On Christmas, I mean, it's a lot more fun to give a present that somebody loves than to get one. I mean, I don't know. When you're younger, much better to get stuff you love. But honestly, after you're whatever, 25, 30, whatever, you reach an age, oh, it's far more fun to give somebody something they like than it even is to get the thing that you like, right? So, you know, Paul's not telling us something that we probably don't know just as human beings. But here's the problem. Some people in our church, they don't want anybody to serve them. Oh, no, I'm good. I got covered. No. Help somebody else. Brother or sister, if that's you, it's time to repent. Because Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Got it? So sometimes you need to receive. Because if you'll never receive, then how can the other person be blessed? All right? So it's a minority of people. It is a minority. But if you're one of those people that doesn't like anybody to serve you, just repent and let some people serve you. But for the rest of us, all right, two categories. Like, the reason I'm zeroing in on these two categories is I honestly believe we do pretty well on this. So I want us to up our game, so I'm helping you out. People on the fringe, people who don't want to be served, think about those people, make a mental list, and let's see them get served. Amen? Great. Well, that pretty much ends my lesson for tonight. One more thing about this. In order for us to serve one another, we need to get a little bit better interaction between campus, singles, older marrieds, younger marrieds, families, etc. Okay? By the way, just, you know, for a church in the ICOC fellowship, we're better at this than average already. The campus, we know each other pretty well. It's not embarrassing. But still, I just think about how are Chris and May's needs going to be met? By somebody in my Bible talk? I guess so. We're a bunch of old people. Well, we're not all old, but most of us are old. And so, you know, the campus needs to get to know Chris and May Link, okay, and et cetera. So I do think cross age, cross Bible talk kinds of relationships are really important. So when you're at that face-to-face park service on Sunday, don't you just hang out with the people you know. Hang out with somebody. If you're a guy, hang out with somebody who's a woman. If you're single, hang out with a married person. If you're old, hang out with a young person. Because that way we can really have this network of serving each other. So, coming home, right? What kind of home are we talking about? We're talking about a home where people love one another, they submit themselves to one another, and they serve one another. So we're going to have a few other one another passages here. We're going to talk about bearing with one another, encouraging one another, being devoted to one another, honoring one another, teaching and admonishing one another, confessing, accepting, carrying each other's burdens, forgiving, all those things. Do I have encouragement twice? All right, awesome. We need a lot of encouragement. So we'll be doing that in the future. Now, we're going to end here. And I hope we'll do discussion groups. We'll come back to the to the Zoom in about 5 minutes, 10 minutes. But please, whoever you're with, or even if you can go and do a quick little FaceTime or Facebook message or whatever, let's discuss these three questions. Number one, what does submit yourselves to one another mean to you, and how do you intend to put it into practice? Number two, are you someone that others consider a servant? If not, what are you going to do about that? Are you one of those who does not like to be served? If not, what are you going to do about that? And number three, is there someone in our fellowship or even outside of our fellowship who you feel needs to be served more? Okay, great. Thanks for coming tonight. We're ending right on time. It's 8 o'clock, and honestly, you know, midweek goes to about 10 after 8. So let's spend at least 5, maybe 10 minutes having a discussion with somebody about these three questions. Then we'll open up Zoom fellowship around 5 after 8. Okay, great. Thanks so much for coming tonight. Love you guys. I'll be home in Bakersfield tomorrow night. See you soon.